From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, October 17th, 2025. Recorded cases of tick-borne disease in Maine are on track for another record-breaking year, according to the State Center for Disease Control and Prevention. As of this week, the CDC has recorded over 3,500 cases of Lyme disease and over 1,200 cases of anaplasmosis in addition to other tick-borne illnesses. Hancock, Waldo, Knox, and Lincoln counties are seeing particularly high rates of Lyme and anaplasmosis. Game wardens are looking for the person who killed a protected Canada lynx in northern Maine and are offering a $3,000 reward for information leading to an arrest or conviction. State Fish and Wildlife authorities believe the lynx was shot within 24 hours of game wardens finding the animal in the town of Perham. Tips can be made by contacting Maine Operation Game Thief. The Maine Geological Survey says a recently completed mineral mapping project in Aroostook County will help guide local land use decisions. In a three-year federally funded study, geologists mapped deposits of manganese, a critical mineral essential for the production of steel and batteries. Senior geologist Amber Whitaker says it's now up to policymakers, municipalities, and landowners to decide what to do with the data.
They now have better information of what is beneath their feet, and they can make better informed decisions.
Whitaker says the U.S. currently imports almost all of its manganese and that this study is part of a national push to understand domestic deposits. She says the U.S. Geological Survey will conduct additional mapping surveys next year over a broader portion of the state. Brookfield Renewable says excessive requirements from Maine regulators partly motivated it to sell four Kennebec River dams to a conservation group. And as Peter McGuire reports, the company is abandoning efforts to relicense the dams ahead of plans to remove them and return the Kennebec to a free-flowing river.
In a letter to the Maine Department of Environmental Protection, Brookfield says state regulators put extremely burdensome requirements on a draft water quality certificate it needs to keep generating hydropower. Brookfield says demands to improve fish migration are legally problematic, massively expensive, and, quote, arguably unattainable. And it says similar requirements could threaten the continued operation of its other hydroelectric dams. In a statement, the DEP says it was taken aback by Brookfield's response and strongly disagrees with the company's characterization of the draft order. Activists have campaigned for years to remove dams around Waterville and Skowhegan to restore the Kennebec to its natural flow. Last month, the Nature Conservancy said it would buy the dams and plans to remove them. Brookfield says the dams will still generate power until that happens, but it is not trying to get a federal license to keep them operating long term. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
National education advocates are sounding the alarm over the effect of U.S. Department of Education staffing cuts on children with disabilities. A federal judge temporarily paused the department's decision to lay off nearly everyone in its special education division earlier this week. But Katie Neese, CEO of the ARC, a nonprofit advocacy group, says the very attempt to dismantle the Individuals with Disabilities Act is concerning.
The reason we have a special education law is because prior to IDEA, millions of children with disabilities were denied an education. States would not educate them. They thought that they weren't worthy of an education.
Neese says for the last 50 years, children with disabilities have been able to attend their neighborhood school, but could lose that access without federal support. Sarah Wilkinson, Maine Education Association member, says 20% of Maine's K-12 students receive special education services and that any cuts would directly impact students and their families. The St. Dominic Regional High School Board says it's planning to revive the high school division of St. Dominic Academy as a fully independent school starting late next year. The decision comes months after the Diocese of Portland announced plans to close St. Dominic Academy High School and families were unable to raise enough money to keep it operating. The diocese says it will move the academy's K-8 grades to the high school's former Auburn campus beginning in January, and board members say they are exploring alternative sites for their independent high school. The board says they anticipate choosing a new site by November and plan to begin enrolling students in January. Maine Capitol Police Chief Matthew Clancy has resigned following charges that he assaulted a Hollowell police officer outside a bar in August. Clancy resigned on October 8th, according to a spokesperson with the Maine Department of Public Safety. He was placed on administrative leave after he was arrested in early August on charges of assault and refusing to submit to arrest or detention after an altercation at a bar in Hollowell. He allegedly grabbed and hit a Hollowell police officer who noticed a crowd forming outside the bar. The officer later asserted that he saw Clancy in a verbal dispute and taunting security personnel and other patrons. The officer said Clancy struck him after he asked him to leave. The officer also said Clancy was intoxicated. Clancy pled not guilty to the charges when he was arraigned in late September. Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Graham Plattner is disavowing a series of deleted social media posts in which he criticized police and wrote that white rural Americans, quote, actually are racist and stupid. Plattner says the posts were a result of loneliness and disillusionment after he left the military, but don't represent who he is today. Steve Missler has more.
The posts, first reported by CNN, appeared on Reddit, a popular social media forum where users typically comment with a pseudonym. Several came after Plattner, a military veteran, returned from Afghanistan in 2018.
I didn't feel connected. I didn't feel like I understood my place in the world, my place in our society. And that, of course, resulted in a lot of kind of alienation and feelings of loneliness. And that's when all this happened.
The most provocative posts came between 2020 and 2021. In 2020, he responded to a thread titled, quote, "White people aren't as racist or stupid as Trump thinks," end quote, by writing, quote, "Living in white rural America, I'm afraid to tell you they actually are," end quote. That comment is sharply at odds with how Plattner talks about those voters now. He's repeatedly tried to frame his campaign to defeat Republican Senator Susan Collins as one that has crossover appeal to Trump voters. At a recent town hall in Madawaska, he defended a woman who suggested illegal immigrants are getting special benefits by saying she and other Trump voters had been misinformed and lied to.
People are propagandized, people are misinformed, but people are not stupid, and we shouldn't treat them as such. People are angry because they know they're being screwed. They might get lied to, they might get taken in. If somebody robs your neighbor's house, you don't go over there and laugh at them afterwards. They've been taken advantage of. And that's what this is.
In an interview, Plattner was asked to reconcile views he had 4 years ago and now.
You know, I am a white guy from rural Maine. I don't think I'm a racist. I know all of my neighbors who in eastern Maine are all primarily white. They are not racist. I have met racist white Mainers. They exist. I've absolutely spoken to them in my life before. They are a small, small minority.
He went on to say that his comments stem from his anger and frustration at, quote, everything, and that he's more empathetic and compassionate now. His comments about police followed the racial justice protests stemming from the police murder of George Floyd. He sometimes posted about his military service and how he, quote, stopped believing in any of the patriotic nonsense that got me there in the first place, end quote. On the campaign trail, Plattner has talked a lot about his military service and how it's shaped his politics, but he says he's less disillusioned now.
I certainly today have a very different view of this stuff and a very different view of how we need to be open and engaged with each other and be willing to forgive a lot, even if we find ourselves, you know, in disagreement with folks.
Nevertheless, the resurfacing of Plattner's Reddit posts marked the first challenge of a campaign that had been riding a lot of momentum. Much of his emergence as a political sensation stemmed from the way he's channeled disenchantment and angst in the Democratic base. Some high-profile Democrats asserted in social media posts that Plattner's old posts should be a cause for concern. Those views come just days after Democratic Governor Janet Mills entered the Democratic primary, after she was recruited by Senate Democratic leaders. Mills is trying to position herself as vetted and battle-tested, two qualities needed to unseat Collins next year. When asked to comment on the CNN story during a campaign event in Freeport, Mills said she hadn't read it, but that she would, quote, strongly disagree with those comments, end quote. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition with Jess Miller on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.